Yo, I'm the muzzle of the ox, the ox false prophet. With scriptures that are buff all knocks, I got this, lock this. Got the Holy Spirit in my body hostage. Puzzle these scripts, line upon line like Tetris. Gotta let it all go like the Matrix. Fear, doubt, and disbelief. Free your mind. Then I leap off like Judas, smack and beef the hammer. Gather around, I got that 33, 32 Ezekiel sound. Decibel level, rumbles the ground. Hear the sound of many waters and all your quarters. Bring it back to you, man, that Lord in order. Scripturally slaughter anyone who think they can fought this. Don't need to run to refuge, we did it intentional. When we smashed your pope to pope and your blonde, blue eyed white Jesus, his descriptions already written out. No need to paint it in art. His skin is black like the tents of Kedar. Fair, red eyes from wine, white woolly hair. It only takes a dumbass to find his master crib and compare.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to another podcast from the 12 Tribes of Israel congregation. I am your brother, and let's give all praise and honor to the Heavenly Father through the Messiah together. Before we begin, let me give you some contact information. If you want to call us or you want more information, you could call us at our toll-free number, 888-447-1695. Or you can email us at scribe@riseisrael.com for more lessons, information, and in general, everything that you want to learn. You can find it on our website at 12t.co, which is the number 12t.co, or riseisrael.com. Thank you again for listening, and today's topic is called The Mean Season. And the reason we're calling it that is because it comes from the scriptures. Let's begin in the book of St. John chapter 10 and verse 22. Even though this scripture does not say the mean season, we'll get there, believe me. So in St. John chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, "And it was at Jerusalem." So today's class is going to be about Jerusalem, because that's a place that our people belong. That's the place that our people come from. And a lot of us do not know much about Jerusalem, and we assume certain things about it. But by learning from the scriptures about our homeland, our motherland, we will see that there's certain doctrines or certain things that you learned that is incorrect. And that affects the way you view the world and affects the way you live your life. Believe me, listen closely to what we're going to go over. It says, "And it was at Jerusalem the Feast of the Dedication." Now, when you read in the so-called Old Testament, this Feast of Dedication doesn't exist. It's spoken of in the books called Apocrypha. So that means that the disciples, the apostles, and our forefathers indeed read the books that are called today Apocrypha. And in fact, the feast was established in the Greek Empire, in the Greek time period, by our forefathers in the Maccabees. And we're going to get that scripture in a second. This feast today is known in the world as Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. But the reason I wanted to start at this verse is because it tells us something very important. And it says, "And it was winter," the same season that we're in right now. So it's very, very freezing cold out there. Now, some doctrines in this world are believed to be true. But if we know simple facts that are found in the Bible, those doctrines that are taught in churchianity will be debunked immediately. People say that this is the season for holidays and things like that. But we're going to find out that in the mean season, the only holiday or holy day that was celebrated is the feast called the Feast of Dedication. And it was kept when? In the winter. Every other feast day that the Bible speaks of, most of them could be found in the book of Leviticus chapter 23 or Numbers chapter 28 and chapter 29. And when we read those chapters, you will not find the Feast of Dedication. So where can we read about the Feast of Dedication, you say? Let's go to the book of Maccabees in the Apocrypha. If you don't have an Apocrypha, it's fine. The Apocrypha was included in a King James Version 1611. So if you buy a King James today and it doesn't have it, that's because you did not buy the 1611 version. On our website, 12tribes.net/Bible, it has the complete listing of books that were included in the King James. The Apocrypha was never something that was lost or is added now or something like that, or a book that mysteriously was found. The Apocrypha always existed. The Apocrypha is in every translation of the Bible that exists in this time period. It's in the Spanish, the Reina Valera, it's in the French, it's in every translation. The removal of certain parts of the Bible has been prophesied in the scriptures. And the Most High told us that man would not be able to do it, that his words will continue forever, so that the children of Israel, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, will be able to find their true heritage and will be able to return back unto him. So a quick way and an easy way to prove the books of the Apocrypha is this scripture right here. Because St. John was written by someone that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that was put there by anybody. It was put there by the Holy Spirit of God. And it shows you that our forefathers, especially Christ, celebrated this day, which is something that today is viewed as a Jewish holiday, but it's not. It's a holiday of our people, those that were oppressed in the Greek Empire, those were oppressed in the Roman Empire, and those that are oppressed today in America and throughout the world, in Babylon, the great whore. So in 1 Maccabees chapter 4, and let's read from verse 52. 1 Maccabees 4 and verse 52. It says here, "Now on the 25th day," meaning the 25th day, "of the ninth month, which is called the month Kaslu, in the 148th year, they rose up betimes in the morning and offered sacrifice according to the law upon the new altar of burnt offerings, which they had made. Look at what time and what day the heathen had profaned it. Even in that was it dedicated with songs and citherns and harps and cymbals." So the Feast of Dedication is kept in the ninth month of the Hebrew calendar on the 25th day of that month, which is called Kaslu. So now here it is that the reason it's called dedication, the Feast of Dedication, is because the altar had to be dedicated back to the Heavenly Father because it was defiled by the heathens, meaning by the Greeks. So our forefathers began celebrating the fact that they had recovered the temple and now they were able to sacrifice and honor the Most High as he commanded in the law. Some of our people might view that as not important, but not Christ. Because not only is it something about our history, it's also a feast that shows that our forefathers were dedicated so much in the prophecies that spoke of the Messiah, that spoke of Christ. Because think about it. In order for Christ to be perfect and fulfill the prophecies that speak of him, as such as walking in the temple, that's a prophecy in the book of Malachi about Christ. He had to walk in the temple freely and teach the people inside the temple. That would not have been possible unless our forefathers, the Maccabees, overcame and battled against the Greeks and won and defeated them to the point where they recovered the temple, cleansed it, made it holy again, so that when Christ will come, the prophecies will be fulfilled of mercy. So here it is in verse 55, it says, "Then all the people fell upon their faces, worshiping and praising the God of heaven, who had given them good success." See that? If you want good success in your life, who do you have to go to? The God of heaven, the Most High, the King of the earth and the king of heaven. Like, people think that stars, you know, astrology and weird stuff has controls of their lives. Nothing is in control of your life but the Most High. The Most High tells you have the choice whether to be blessed or cursed. If you want to be blessed, you walk in his ways. If you want to be cursed, you sin against him. And that shows that you really hate yourself. Not that you hate him, you hate yourself. Because you're not going to do any harm to him. He created you. And in such manner, he could what? Destroy you. Verse 56 says, and so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days. So this feast lasts for 8 days complete. And offer burnt offerings with gladness, and sacrifice the sacrifice of deliverance, meaning the sacrifice of salvation. So they knew that what they were doing was going to bring them salvation later on. It was going to bring the King, Christ, the Messiah, and praise. They deck also the forefront of the temple. The word deck means decorated. They decorated the forefront of the temple with crown of gold and with shields. The gates and chambers they renewed and hanged doors upon them. Thus was there very great gladness among the people. And believe me, we had great gladness as well, celebrating that feast. For that the reproach of the heathen was put away. What I mean, the reproach, the curses being brought upon us by the heathen, the punishment that the Most High had placed on us by having the Greeks kill innocents. And I'm talking about literally innocents, children that were circumcised were being killed. People that had the Bible were being killed. So here it is that the Most High showed them mercy because they desired to keep his commandments. He gave them prosperity and removed the curse, the reproach of the heathens. Moreover, Judas and his brethren with the whole congregation of Israel ordained. Notice who the congregation is. The congregation is the nation of Israel. So when you look at our people looking for what church is the right church, churchianity has nothing to do with this Bible. The congregation has always been the nation of Israel from the beginning to the end for the Most High. So it says here, and the whole congregation of Israel ordained, meaning commanded, made into a law, that the days of dedication of the altar should be kept in their season. What season is that? In their season. In their season. We read in John, it said that it was what? Winter. In their season from year to year by the space of 8 days. From the 25th day of the month Kislew with mirth and gladness. Let's jump up in the chapter to find out what season is the 9th month in. So in chapter 4, 1 Maccabees chapter 4 and verse 4 says, while as yet the forces were dispersed from the camp, in the mean season. Why is the scripture called the mean season? Because this winter, this cold, not many could survive it. Imagine you being outside at 10 degrees with no coat, with no sweater, just with a t-shirt. You think this winter is going to treat you well, or is it going to be mean to you? Okay, that wind hitting you like it's a slap. Sometimes the wind hits you and it feels like razors are cutting up your ears. So the scripture calls it mean season because the harsh weather of winter is the reason why it's called the mean season. In the mean season came Gorgias by night into the camp of Judas. And when he found no man there, he sought them in the mountains, for he said, these fellows flee from us. So this guy came in the night trying to be slick to try to kill our forefathers that were fighting for the temple. And they thought they were hiding in the mountains, but Judas was not hiding. And as we read on in the chapter, Judas did what? Defeated an army that was bigger than his. By what? By prayer and by the mercy of the Most High. He gave them the victory and the prosperity. All right, but today's class is not about that. Today's class is about Jerusalem. How in Jerusalem, when it's winter, it's not a winter that you could walk around with a t-shirt. It's not a winter that you could walk around like as if you're going to, you know, sunbathe or something. It's mean, just like how it's mean to us right here in New York. Right now, people are bundled up. People are, you know, don't want to go outside because it's so cold. It's so harsh, the winter, where you could get easily sick and possibly die if you're not well prepared. So why are we reading this? Because some people think that a baby was born to the nation of Israel, as was promised by God, in this winter time, and survived somehow with swaddling clothes outside. Everybody hears about this, you know, little baby Jesus being born in the winter, and they know he was born and put in a manger. But people don't think, what is a manger? What is that? So we got to make sure that you understand that in Jerusalem, when it's wintertime, it is a harsh, cold winter, and it snows. And it snows very strong, too. To the point where our forefather, David, wrote about it. Let's go to the book of Psalms. So I want you to imagine to yourself Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, where Christ was going to be born, which is by the city of Jerusalem. It's part of the city of Jerusalem. And having this baby outside. Can you imagine a woman having a baby outside today and then not being prepared for the baby, just swaddling him up with, you know, like how they do in the hospitals. They just put a towel around and wrap the baby in a towel type thing. Like, because it says swaddling clothes. That doesn't mean he had heavy coat or nothing like that. Swaddling clothes. That means a garment was put on him and they wrapped it around him. And that was it. And then they placed them outside in a manger. They were outside. There was no room for them in any inn, in any place. They were not in a barn like the decorations they try to sell you. They were literally outside in the harsh winter having a baby. Really? That's how it works? No. Christ would not have been able to survive. As much as the Most High loves him, you know what I'm saying? So in the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 147, let's start at verse 12. Psalms 147 and verse 12. Because our people think that it's, you know, Jerusalem is a desert. And they think that, oh, it's always hot out there. You know, it's always, you know, steaming hot. Like as if there's no other seasons in Jerusalem. So let's remove that ignorance. You know, this is not season greetings. This is the mean season. It's also mean because when people say, you know, happy holidays or Merry Christmas, they're not getting a nice response. They're getting a mean season response. We don't celebrate that. That's what they're going to hear. We don't celebrate that. Why not? Because Christ was not born on December 25th. The word December doesn't exist in the Bible. Like, for example, we just read the ninth month was called Kaslu. Look in your calendar. Is the ninth month called Kaslu in your calendar? No. They say the ninth month is September. And the word September actually means seven. So obviously, how can you say Christ was born in December? That's another thing you got to take into account. So in Psalms 147 and verse 12, it says, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion." Verse 13 says, "For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth." So the Most High, he makes everything to happen. The food that's in your table happened because of him. The weather that is in front of you is because of him. It says, "His word runneth very swiftly." So when the Most High commands something, nothing holds back the Most High's words. It runs swiftly to obey. He giveth snow like wool. He giveth what? To Jerusalem? He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? Can somebody literally strip down and go outside and survive this? And maybe be wrapped around like with towels and survive it? No. No one could withstand the cold of the Most High. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. So it's the Most High that makes the snow what? Melt. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. So when you look in churchianity, they're giving you this folklore, this fantasy, this fable of Christ being born on a winter snowy day. And somehow, Mary and Joseph couldn't find room for the baby. But they found somehow a barn to go into. First of all, that would be breaking and entering to somebody's private property. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I mean, there's a barn over here. Let's just go in there. And you think the people are not going to show up? Like, what you doing in our barn? Then on top of that, they show you all these animals. Like they don't poop in a barn or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And Christ is born unexpectedly. And somehow they survive. They are warm in the heat of the barn. No. That didn't happen. The word barn is not even in those chapters of the birth of Christ. It tells you that he was in a manger. We're going to get that. Matter of fact, we're going to insert a clip of a class that we had where we were covering the topic about how it's impossible for Christ to have been born on December 25th, especially because of the fact that it is winter and the baby would not have been able to survive the cold outside. So hopefully the clip is inserted at this point and you get to hear that part of the class. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes means like she wrapped him around a garment. Like when you wrap a baby with the light sheet when they're newborn and you swaddle them, you put them nice and comfy, but they don't have no heavy things on them. They just, underneath, they have no clothes on, and they just got the nice, beautiful sheet that was made for them. In this case, Mary doesn't have that. And that wouldn't even be sufficient for a baby to survive in the winter, in the mean season. Because we're not talking about, like, early winter. We're talking about December 25th here, people. Like, how cold is it right now? It's tremendous. You think a baby would survive that? You think that snowy white Christmas is when Christ was born and he has swaddling clothes? I don't think so. I don't think so, people. That would not be possible. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger. Now, a manger is not a barn. A manger is a box that is outside, which is called a trough, that is used to give water to farm animals, horses, donkeys, sheep, goat, and that box doesn't get moved inside. It stays outside. So you have to understand that Christ was laying, not in a crib, but in a box that is called a manger, a wooden box that is outside in the streets. So imagine watching a Western movie. When you see how they leave the horses outside and they tie it, and right next to the horse where he's tied, there's a wooden box that is a trough. That is a manger. Look it up. You can see that the word manger means exactly that. At no point in this chapter do we read about Mary and Joseph going into a barn to a dung-infested, smelly animal dookie-filled barn. So, because there was no room for them in the inn, the scripture says. There was no room for them in the inn because Jerusalem is close by to Bethlehem. And during that time, it was a feast of the God of Israel. And when you read in the scriptures, there are three specific feast days that are actually commanded by God that every male must travel to Jerusalem to keep. Okay, we're back. So now let's finish up this verse. Psalms 147, verse 20. He have not dealt so with any nation. Now, when the scripture says he have not dealt so with any nation, meaning the word was not given to other nations. The word of the Most High was given to the children of Israel. So if you're finding out that you're an Israelite, and you're finding out, or you're picking up the Bible, and you're saying, you know, I want to learn the truth, the first thing you got to do is stop learning from the other nations. That's the first step, because the word was not shown to them. His statutes and his judgments were not shown unto them. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. And that's something that you have to also look for. A lot of Israelites might know that they're Israel, but they do not apply judgment among themselves, among their congregation, among their family, meaning they really are not keeping the commandments. They're really not keeping the laws. In order for you to really keep the laws and the statutes, you must apply the judgments in the understanding of Christ, of course. Praise ye the Lord, because they have not known them. Praise be unto the Most High. And with that, I hope you, brothers and sisters, with this little fact about how it is impossible for the baby Christ, who was born outside, to survive the cold winter, we'll be able to see that the celebration of Christmas has nothing to do with the Most High or Christ. It has nothing to do with the Bible, in fact. You're learning this from the other nations who want to keep you in captivity, not only of your body, but also of your mind. So the scripture says in St. John chapter 8, and verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. With that, giving all praise and honor to the Most High in Christ, we pray that your brothers and sisters wake up and stop celebrating the wicked hell days, because they're not holidays, of the world, and start celebrating the days of your God. There's a difference between those two. The days of your God, you learn good habits. The days of the world will lead you to destruction. All praises be to the Most High through his Son. And I hope you enjoy today's lesson. Shalom.
Shalom.